mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them first be tested, then. If they prove themselves blameless, let them serve as deacons. Women likewise must be serious, not slanderers, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be married only once, and let them manage their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Great. And so the parameters for deacons, whether you're male or female, are the same. It just uses different words, but in those lists, the parameters for if you operate as a deacon are the same, whether you're a guy or whether you're a woman. Okay? But then you read 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13 in the NIV, which is the one at the right. And you might have an objection as we finish reading this, but that's okay. I'll explain when we get to the end. Okay, but it says this: deacons, likewise, are to be men, worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. What a difference, isn't it? Now, just in case, I will highlight something. You might have the NIV, and if you have the NIV, I'm really happy for you that you have the NIV, and I hope you enjoy it and you love it and you get to know the Lord through reading that, and I mean that with sincerity. But what you need to be aware of is that the NIV was updated in 2011. And so this is what it used to say, which we've just read. They have since changed what the NIV says. And it says this: in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Completely different and much more in alignment with what the NRSV says. What a difference. And here you're saying, well, why, John? Why is it so different? Well, because the translation committee who done it earlier has now changed. There are different people on it, and they will have a different view when it comes to the science of interpretation. And they have looked more closely at the text and realised that it doesn't inhibit women from being deacons. And neither should it. Deacons are likewise to be honourable, of good character, worthy of respect, not double-tongued or fully trustworthy, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain, which literally means loving money to the point of questionable integrity. It's the same for men as it is for women. It's the same set of rules. Then in verse 11, women likewise are to be honourable, of good character, worthy of respect, not slanderous or malicious talkers, self-controlled and faithful in all things. And he's not saying that there's a different set of rules for men as there is for women. They're the same. He just uses different terminology for the two that in essence are the same thing. And he, when he says women, he's talking about, so there are deacons and there are women deacons. They fulfill the same role. They do the same job. They have the same importance. That's what it's talking about. And the NIV has changed what it said, because had Paul been referring to the wives of deacons in verse 11, it would have said their wives. But the NIV committee thought that they would add that in at that stage. It doesn't really say that. And you can see then how people's context impacts how they interpret and translate things. We do it all the time. We make judgments all the time based on our upbringing, our context, and all that kind of stuff. Regularly we do it. We don't even realise that we're doing it. It doesn't say that. The NIV had added that without any warrant whatsoever, but in 2011 they changed it because it wasn't right. And I think what that has done is it has changed because they realised that's not what it says. The church and the Bible, as we have translated it up to this stage, has supported the subordination of women, or women being subordinated by men. And it has supported other things like slavery, because people would have used the Bible to substantiate why they're allowed to have slaves. Wrongly, in my opinion. So, the two lists of qualities are to be identical whether you're a man or a woman. There's no difference. And we don't have anybody in this church who fulfills, in terms of the name, we don't have those titles where we call somebody a deacon or an elder. We don't have bishops. We don't have archbishops. We don't have a pope. The Roman Catholic Church does, which is great for them. We tend not to have that because it kind of sets this kind of structure, and it's like a hierarchical thing. And while we do have people that are in leadership, it's a functional thing. It's not that we lord over anybody. And so in this church, we will have, so Charlene and I, pastor the church. But then we have other people. So we have a leadership team here. And on that leadership team, we have Willie. He's responsible for worship. He's our worship leader. So all things worship is his responsibility. Charlene and I aren't here to tell people what to do or to boss you about. It's a functional role that we have. And we want to delegate as much as we can, which Bible teaches that you delegate it to other people. And therefore, Willie fulfills that role for us. He oversees everything in terms of worship. Then we have Alan and Julie Garland, who together oversee small groups for us. That's the role that they fulfill in the church. And they have a specific pastoral role to play in that. We recognise that we don't have all, that we don't have everything when it comes to skill set and gifting. And we recognise that there are people that are better than us at some stuff. So while I can play the guitar, Willie's better. You really are. And Willie leads worship. He stands here with a guitar and it's just, he leads us in worship. He takes us to a place before he gets there. And he gives that up to lead us there. And then when we get to that place, he can then enter into that place of worship on his own. And he's better at that than I am. That's why he's the worship leader. Alan and Julie Garland are much more pastoral than I and Charlene are. Therefore, that's why they fulfill that role. Then in terms of food bank and our compassion ministry, Paul Dixon heads that up. One, he's much more wired that way and he's better organised for that type of thing than we are. We recognise the gifting that he has and therefore we have handed that over to him. And so when we recognise that other people are better at something than what we are, We will, and we won't always. Do you know, a lot of people hire people that are not as good as them. In every role, we aim to put people into positions where we know they're better than us. We don't have an insecurity where, but if we give them that role, they'll take over from us and we'll appear insignificant. That doesn't matter. That doesn't even enter the equation. Phoebe was given the role that she had because of her gifts and her specific skill set. If you're a woman and you come here and you have gifts and a specific skill set that we need to help this church grow, we will always appoint people for the sake of growth. Always. And if that means that you're a woman and you have the character that we need firstly, and then you present yourself with having the gift and the skill set necessary, then we will appoint a woman ahead of a man if you have the gift and the skill set and the character before a guy does. That's why Phoebe had the role she had in her church. She had the skill set. So what she did as a businesswoman, or whatever it was that she did and how she had made, it suggested she was a businesswoman. That's why she was travelling to Rome. And at the same time as she was travelling to Rome, she thought, well, I'll take the letter to the Roman church with me. She took it. What that also then suggests is that when she arrived, she was the first person to read it. They didn't all have a New Testament. They didn't all have an NIV. So everybody would have sat. There would have been quite a lot of people. Excuse me, and Phoebe would have stood and read the whole letter in one. She wouldn't have read a chapter one day, a chapter the next day for 16 days. She'd have read the whole thing. The people would have listened. And then, here's the startling thing. If people had questions, who would they ask? Phoebe. She was the one who delivered the letter. She was given that responsibility. And Paul tells them quite clearly, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people. Yous are Christians. Receive her in the way that I would expect you to. He's pretty much saying, receive her the way you would receive me. Doesn't it matter that she's a woman? Give her any help she may need from you. And then he says, why? Because she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. I trust this woman. The church in Kenchrea trust this woman. She has the role she has because she has proven herself trustworthy. And then, like we read in 1 Timothy, she was serious, she wasn't a slanderer, she was temperate, she was faithful in all things. She was married only once, and she managed her children and her household, if she had them, well. Those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves in great boldness in the faith. She had a good standing. Her character was good. She wasn't given to waywardness. And that is the thing that set her apart. That's why she had the role she had, whether she's a woman or not. So here's what I need to finish up by telling you is this. Women can be leaders, are leaders, and will be leaders in this church. Leadership criteria in this church will be the same, whether you're male or female. We won't have a scale that makes it harder for women to achieve than what a man would be, or vice versa. And because some people would say women are the weaker sex, and because you're weaker, I will make it a wee bit easier for you. Not a chance. There's a bar, and that bar's no high here. Because, please know this, Charlene and I got in. We're no that great. But we got in. We were able to reach the bar. It would be, I nearly said evil, but it wouldn't be right. If we were able to reach that bar, and then when we get in, we raise it right away up, that other people can't raise it. That bar has never been raised. If you present with the skill set and the gifting, and beforehand the character that is necessary for a role that we see needs to be filled in this church, whether you're man or woman, we will come and ask you to fulfill that role. We have done, and we will do it again. And it's important that if you're a woman, that you know that you're not insignificant because of your gender. You have the same significance as any man who has sat in this room there. I love how the Message wouldn't be my favourite Bible. I have to make that clear. However, I absolutely love Eugene Peterson, who wrote it. He's brilliant. His heart behind what he has tried to do is just wonderful. And so therefore, on some things, I will look and see what the Message says, because I know that Eugene Peterson has, I mean, he's a scholar. He does Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. He knows this stuff. And then he has tried to put the Bible into everyday language that people can understand. It is quite colloquially American, but it's quite good. So I'm going to read what it says for this passage in 1 Timothy from there. The same goes for those who want to be servants in the church. Serious, not deceitful, not too free with the bottle, not in it for what they can get out of it. They must be reverent before the mystery of the faith, not using their position to try to run things. Let them prove themselves first. If they show they can do it, take them on. No exceptions are to be made for women. Same qualifications, serious, dependable, not sharp-tongued, not overfond of wine. Servants in the church are to be committed to their spouses, attentive to their own children, and diligent in looking after their own affairs. Those who do this servant work will come to be highly respected, a real credit to this Jesus faith. That says it quite succinctly for me. Doesn't matter if you're a woman. And so if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Women, we love you. We value you hugely. And because you're a woman does not mean that you don't have something to bring, because we know that you do. And you always will. And when we see that you have something to bring that is good, we will utilise that. And like I promised last week, we're looking at a series on women leadership in the church. Women will be represented from here in this series. They will teach in this series. And it's important that you see that. It's important that you know that. Because women are important. And contrary to popular belief, Paul does not have a negative sense of women. Now you think of the number of women that he talks about in glowing terms. Phoebe is one. Junia is another. Chloe is another one. Priscilla. Luke mentions her, but it talks about Lydia, who was somebody who travelled at the same time as Paul. They went to her house. There's five. And there are more than that. Paul had a positive view of women. I think that sets it out quite clearly. There was no easy-ozy approach. If a woman was going to be a deacon, she was going to be a deacon on the same basis that a man was. The Old Testament, Huldah was a prophet. Doesn't he use the term prophetess? It says prophet. Even though she was female. And what she spoke to Josiah and his men came to pass. And it was good. She was a wise woman. She led a school that taught women Torah at that time in Jerusalem. That was unheard of. But that's who she was. Women, you have an important role to play in the church. I finish with telling you this. When I was at Bible college, you know, you always get the kind of women lib kind of people. You even get them in Bible college. You especially get them in Bible college. And they're kind of shouting and bawling, and women should be allowed to be in leadership. I have no problem with that, but they get a bit of a reputation, and so it would be a shame not to milk it as much as you can. You could, but I thought that was funny. But anyway, so what we did is we had this class in college, and it was called the Women's Role in the World Church. And I think women do have a role. But just for fun, we changed the name. And we changed the name to Women Make Roles in the Church. If you come from Northern Ireland and you've been in the church for 5 minutes, how many times have you heard women automatically putting themselves into the role where, oh, we'll do that. We'll take care of the tea and coffee and the tray bakes and the like. Recently here, we heard something, what other women can we have to do the tea and coffee? Charlene and I were like, now, it's not that anybody was wrong, because that's what most people think. But what about men serving the tea and coffee? Nigel, you've done it. Yeah. Willie, you've done it. You did it today. Other men have done it. When we're at food bank on a Wednesday, Sylvia, too, just she's unbelievably great. She usually does it. However, Willie isn't adverse to serving tea and coffee to people. Neither am I. I don't know anybody here who's just automatically going to say, well, you're a woman, you go and do it. Because if that happened when I was there, it would be addressed. And it will be addressed every time. So, women, if you're here, that will never be your role here. We will not demote you. You will make roles. You have a role to play in this church. But I believe women have a huge role to play in the world church. And you can be a leader, and women will be in leadership. So, do you want to stand? If everybody stands, but we'll pray for women again. Because I like it. And I hate the